I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
NXT After Show is happening. It's happening right now. How's everyone doing? My name is Lobo Voice, and I'm broadcasting from my studio apartment here in Los Angeles, California. We're recapping all the matches on the horizon to the event formerly known as TakeOver Tampa. It's not there, but it kind of is there. We're talking about all of that tonight. But before we do, gotta introduce the all-star panel. Introducing first, this guy is working throughout the self-quarantine on his site, right? Real Talker, new content happening all the time. Jim Alexander, what's up?
What's going on? Never stop, right? My light stopped working, but I didn't.
Aww, I didn't know you had a podcast, though.
Huh?
You work on your podcast, too.
Did you see that Sam Richardson interview I just did? That's a good one. Post it.
Hardest working man in the biz. And also, I will be remiss if I can't mention the Emmy-nominated person who has the best Chewbacca impression of all time. Emily May, how's it going?
Yes, I'm good. How are you? See, this is what happens when I'm stuck in a room for too long. I just start doing Chewbacca impressions.
I want to ask you that because I'm pretty much flying solo. I mean, I don't have a coworker at my. So, it sounds very LeBron like. We try the hardest, you know.
You know, we try. We, you know, every day we're like, it's a new day, and we're just happy to wake up. Right. And we have food in the fridge, and yeah, we're good.
All good times are coming, man.
All good times.
NXT basically told you, hey, we didn't have matches last week. We're giving you all the matches. Jim Alexander, just overall thoughts about today's show. I mean, up and down the card, new faces, old faces, everyone's in the mix.
I thought it was the best wrestling show they've done indoors for WWE. I really did. That's, you know, like they finally learned with their mistakes of like, hey, let's light up the chairs and see the empty graveyard scenes, you know, with Raw. Like, I feel like they figured out what works, what looks good aesthetically and not, and that you can, you know, just put matches. We don't need to see random matches like Charlotte Flair versus Asuka from WrestleMania or some Royal Rumble match. You know what I mean? Like, we can fill a wrestling show with actual wrestling. So I thought it was pulled off well, and it felt as closest to a regular NXT show as they could have. Plus, they threw in some interesting segments. So I thought it was a really well done show.
Wow. All positive. I'm surprised.
Don't make me happy.
Yeah, you know, I don't mind not having the audience, at least for a little bit. I mean, I'm going to miss it eventually, but I feel like this show is really great. They're taking the opportunity to actually focus on the wrestling, and they're not getting swept up in distractions from the audience and all of like the theatrics of it, but they're focusing on the moment at hand. And I feel like it's creating interesting wrestling moments, and you could tell that it's just a different vibe, and I'm actually really enjoying it.
Yeah, I was talking to Jack Farmer, who hosts the AEW Dynamite After Show, which occurs right there on his network after this show, about the fact we're getting used to empty arena shows, which I feel like as these days go on, I mean, California is in what, day 6 of its lockdown. I feel like I'm in an alternate United States, you know, and watching wrestling with no fans just seems odd, but now we're getting kind of used to it because the shows are just so well produced. That's just my two cents about the thing. The first match of the card was one of the more curious ones, I thought. I want your thoughts about this. Austin Theory was announced as one of the high-profile signings from Evolve, got involved with Ciampa a couple weeks ago, having a match against Tyler Breeze, a guy we always forget about but can still go. To me, the match was solid. A little bit too much calling the story in the ring, but Emily, maybe start with you. Thoughts about Austin Theory and Tyler Breeze?
I mean, it was a classic match. You know, Austin Theory is what he says he's like the flash in the, or, you know, flash in the pan. He's coming in hot and he's trying to make a splash. And this, he got a little cocky in the ring and was like, oh yeah, look at me. I can, you know, look, I'm the new hotshot. I can make a big deal of myself. And I was like, you haven't even won the match yet. So don't get all like worked up, because you're going against a veteran that's been around a long time and you're not going to get your place in the winner's circle right away. So he needs to calm down a little bit, but I feel like overall the match was pretty good for having both contrasting styles and they look very similar actually. When you go back and look at it.
Yeah, so I felt like Austin, right, he has a tremendous upside. A lot of things are going to happen. Jim, let me ask you this question, though, because we talk about, we got to make new stars in NXT. WWE needs new stars. Austin Theory looks to be that guy, but there's a lot of things he can work on. What's he missing? What's he missing to be the next level?
Well, first of all, he should have probably gotten a win tonight. That would have been a good start, right?
But I don't think I don't think it would have worked tonight if he got the win. The structure wouldn't have made sense.
Okay, well, I think it would make sense if you're trying to build stars and you want a guy that obviously, you know, you're using Tyler Breeze to just put over others, right? So why would he go over a guy that dominated him supposedly in this match? So that wouldn't make sense in that sense.
I'm kind of torn, though, because if Tyler Breeze won that match, no, if he lost that match, I would not believe him ever again. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's not the one that's being pushed. As far as to answer the question that's been posed to me, it would be that he's trying to showcase a persona that he doesn't have, right? He's trying to be a, you know, a cocky, fast talker, you know, arrogant kind of thing, but it's not going over. It's not natural. It's not authentic. It just seems forced. And like you said, today during the match, he's just constantly going to the commentary, and they had the, you know, especially kind of mic'd up close enough so you can hear him talk and call the match in a sense. That's trying too much. If you have to try and use spots in during the match to get yourself over, then you're not getting yourself over because you're trying too hard. So I just think he doesn't have the natural charisma. He might get it. I mean, it's still a possibility. A guy could work on it. He's brand new. But at this point, he doesn't have it.
But I'm not sure what his brand would be, because they built it on the fact that he was the quickest signee coming from Evolve. So they built this whole persona and this whole brand around him that is this hotshot guy. So I don't think they can shift his kind of story arc and his persona right now unless they do a big story pivot.
Of course they can change it, because he hasn't established anything, right? He's just came out. He's lost a few matches. He went over once or twice. There's nothing established about this guy that makes him legitimized. There's nothing cemented. So they can do whatever they want to him, technically. That's the good thing working for him, is that nothing has been cemented. He is new, so they can still manipulate him and maneuver and do whatever they want to do to mold him up to the way they want him to be.
I think the greatest tragedy of all this is Tyler Breeze, right? When he came back to NXT, it was like, oh my gosh, he can go. This guy could be a very important mid-card in a title division. And now I forgot he was on the roster after a couple of weeks working with Fandango, even though Fandango got hurt. I mean, if you were the GM, I'm asking both of you, if you guys are the GM of NXT, is Tyler Breeze still valuable on your roster, knowing full well you have all this talent coming up the pipe?
No question. I think Tyler Breeze got a better character, flushed out charisma and personality than half the guys on that roster right now, especially a lot of the new guys are bringing up. I thought they did a good job with him when they brought him up initially a few months back. You know, he was feuding with Dream, and I thought they just had a lot of good things kind of going for him. He seemed legitimized. He seemed refreshed. He seemed new. And then he just disappeared. I think a veteran who's got a built-in charisma, who's got a persona that can be traced back to his days first time around in NXT, why not build on him? And he's willing to put over guys, but give him some credibility. I don't think they gave him any credibility. They just gave up on him way too quick. So I think that's really a guy that's underutilized that could be a much better benefit.
Yeah. I mean, I do have to agree that Tyler Breeze is a veteran. He's established, he's experienced, he knows what he's doing, and he can make anyone look good. And so, but whether you want him to keep doing that and not pursue his own path is something that, like, they have to figure out. And I feel like he is an asset to NXT, and they just have to, like, either push him in a new direction or find a spot for him that's going to, like, highlight his best qualities.
I'm glad you said that, because the next match here has a very, very similar trajectory. Killian Dane, someone who's still trying to find his place on the roster after so long, in a match against Tahuti Miles, which I think he debuted a couple weeks ago, but he's still fairly new.
So new,
I really thought there was going to be a case of him or the new blood coming over here, but no, mm-hmm. We got Killian Dane reestablished himself as the monster of the mid-card. Emily May, what's up with this match?
Yeah, so again, like, when you see Killian Dane, oh my God, I can't... Yeah. I always get the names switched up. Killian Dane. Oh, it's a blah, tongue twister. You know, it's one of those things, like, you know, unless it's someone either equal of size or bigger, that he's going to get over. And so what I don't understand is why I was confused by this match, in the sense of I wasn't sure what they were trying to create. Because, you know, with Miles, we're not sure, like you said that he had a few matches a little while ago. But I think it was like a reminder, like, oh, he's newer to NXT. Like, okay, what can he bring? And I felt like it felt a little like he was trying to figure himself out while trying to take over Killian Dane. Like, it was so, like, he was overwhelmed with this type of opponent.
Yeah, I gotta be real. It was
that's the vibe I got.
Like Discount Swerve mixed with Jordan Miles all into one.
So, like, I felt very, like, I didn't know if it...
Now, whichever young guy is going to come up, every young guy that's coming up now is just going to get job. There's nothing, there's just not the time with all that's going on, WrestleMania season and now what's going on in the world, not time to be pushing you guys or creating new arcs. Like, they're just going to be fodder for some of the established guys on a roster. So they're just putting out a match right now, have the more noticeable guy go over, and that's their purpose right now. Same with Austin Theory, with Miles. I mean, that's what it is right now. You're not going to be building new guys unless it's someone established at that point. I don't think right now, so new guy's not going to get over. Killian Dane is what he is. You know what I mean? Another guy I think that could be used better. It's sort of like the Tyler Breeze effect. He could have been used better. He's got a certain interesting look to him, but he just isn't. So I think that's another guy they don't care much about to write a storyline or come up with something. He's just a worker. Just put out random match, you know, filler for during the show, and that's what it is. That's what it was tonight.
Emily, may I cut you off earlier? Were you saying something else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So, yeah, no problem. Just, you know,
no problem. You're good, Povo.
So moving on, our next match of the night was like, it was 1, 2, 3. I mean, 30 minutes in NXT, we were our third match tonight. Cameron Grimes, a man that looked like he was self-quarantining for years in a match against Tony Nese, which they were pretty much equally sized, equally strength. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds you how big Tony Nese is, but Cameron Grimes gets the win. Emily, may I want to start with you, because we sat here a couple weeks ago or months ago in NXT. We always laugh about Cameron Grimes and his hat and his leather cowboy shipper routine, but it looks like more and more that he's here to stay. Didn't matter if he won today over Tony Nese, and if it didn't matter, where do you see him going next?
I mean, that's a tough question, because we've seen him week after week have these types of matches where he has kind of a new opponent, and he does kind of the same thing. And so what I'm trying to find is something that can break him out of his mold, kind of break him out of his normal routine. He needs an opponent that's going to kind of break down the establishment that is Cameron Grimes and see what he can do that's different than anything he's ever done. And I'm missing that, like, momentum.
Wait, who do you have in mind? Who do you have in mind? I'm curious.
Why, Jim, why are you laughing?
No, why are you laughing, Jim?
Since when did Cameron Grimes become an establishment to begin with? I mean, that guy is garbage.
Because he's an establishment of NXT, because we see him week after week, or like week after every other week.
Every week. They kind of toss him in randomly because they don't know what to do with them. First of all, that whole thing needs to be scrapped, because that's hot garbage. You're talking about a guy who, it's like, I don't know, what is he? You know, he comes out in a cowboy, you know, whatever that thing is. Then he's got a Monopoly Man top hat. Then he's got the taco meat hanging out there. You know what I mean? And he looks like a grizzly bear and the taco meat. Like, what is this? Like, it's just like the concoction of something bad all around. I don't think he's particularly good at anything, really. I mean, the character's just all over the place. I don't know what they're trying to establish there with him. He's okay in a ring. I don't believe him in the mic. I think he's a lower tier, not even mid-card guy. I just think he's a glorified jobber.
I disagree too, because I do not think he's had the chance to showcase exactly what he can do. And maybe it's not the right persona, maybe he doesn't have the right character right now. So then again, okay, maybe scratch it or maybe re-up it. Like, people evolve and people shift their characters all the time. And again, they might not know where he places in the tier of NXT, but it doesn't mean that he's not good.
I feel this. I feel like, because NXT is like the third brand, right?
Yeah, so close, like, you should be able to move and shift.
It's so easy to disappear on that show. Like, Shane Thorne took months off and Tyler Breeze took months off. There has to be something going on for people to put Cameron Grimes out every week, every other week. Maybe we're not seeing it on side, but I guess if you had to buy stock in Cameron Grimes, I would, because there's a reason why he's there all the time.
Even in this economy, I'm not buying stock in him when it's an all-time low. I'm still selling
Damn!
I'm still selling
it. Well, so we're never going to get Jim to be on board with Cameron Grimes.
Unless they completely scrap it. Unless they give him a complete reset. Like, completely make it forget, completely alternate look, and a complete reset. It's the only way he has a chance to reestablish. Because right now, with the impression he's making, is not a good one. It's of a jobber.
I wanted an alternate cowboy. Before we got interrupted, Emily, I will ask you, do you have a person in mind, the roster, you think will go well with Cameron to bring that out? Or are we just postulating, or just...
I was just saying my feelings.
Fair enough. I know a lot of times, you know, like most comic book stories and heroes and villains, the best villains bring out the best of both heroes. I don't know if you had anyone. Put you on the spot. Before we move on, it's now time for a small segment I like to call the Lockdown Playlist. If you're like me, you have the WWE Network and you want to watch some classic NXT action or a new classic, I want to see you guys back to January of last year, TakeOver Phoenix. I was actually there live. It was Royal Rumble weekend. I was really one of the better TakeOvers, but it gets kind of lost in the shuffle between War Games and TakeOver New York of last year as well. Well, Ciampa and Aleister Black had a fantastic main event for the NXT title. You guys check it out. And the War Raiders. All right, so this match to me is actually one of my highlights of the night. It was supposed to be Aaliyah against Xia Li, and props for NXT for bringing back the whole broken nose storyline. It wasn't just a random match. Implications, the winner was going to face the ladder match for the women's title in 2 weeks, I think. But Xia Li got like beat up backstage, or someone hit her knee, Nancy Kerrigan style.
Totally, that's what I said.
And her replacement is returning Io Shirai. Undertones aside, I'm going to start with you, Jim, because you seem so happy about this match. Thoughts about the match, thoughts about the women's ladder match on the horizon.
I think Io Shirai being back in the fold is a good thing. I mean, we know Aaliyah's what she is, right? We've been talking about it for a long. How long has she been there? For 10 years or something, right? And a broken nose can't even get her over. So wow. I think that story's been written. Ooh. But it's good to see Io Shirai back. I think they kind of missed her in a sense. And I almost forgot about her in a way, because they've been bringing so many new storylines. I think the women's storylines and feuds have been probably the best ones on that brand, honestly.
For sure.
I mean, you look at Tegan Nox and just all the different storylines they have going. So you kind of forgot about Io Shirai. But it's good to see her back. And, you know, easily she could – go into the top any feud, you know, became plugged into the top of the card, especially now with the ladder match. So I think it's going to add a needed boost for that division that's already stacked at that point. I think it's good to see her back, and it was a good way to keep up her kind of heel storyline that she left off with, right? To have her enter like this.
But is she still a heel? Well, sorry, Emily, any thoughts about the match?
You know, I loved the reveal that they did tonight. You know, they, you know, because they were like blasting all over social media, NXT was saying, hey, here's the matches for tonight, and then they did like a bait and switch, and I appreciated that, because they're here trying to like get people, you know, excited and still active watching NXT. And so I feel like this did it, and the fact that it's a big return like Io Shirai made me very, very happy. And I think it gave kind of fans a little something to look forward to. And I think they're building out this ladder match in a really great way. And it's going to be a really great mix of women kind of trying to get that title.
But dang it, Emily, who hurt Xia Li? Who hurt Boo Thing of the Week?
I'm sorry. I know she's like your Boo Thing all the time, like every week. She's your Boo Thing. It was, like you said, a Nancy Kerrigan thing. You know, she was like, why? This was a really good moment for her, you know, in the back of the locker room. She was crying and like really upset. And, you know, it, and I loved like Aaliyah's reaction where she was like, oh, well, you know, look, I nothing happened. Oh, I don't know what's going on. And then, you know, something happened. And then when Io Shirai came out, it was like, oh, yeah, see, you can't get all cocky because look what happens.
True. I got to say this. Jim is right here. The women's division is pretty stacked.
It is pretty stacked.
And here's a question I want to ask you, starting with you first, Jim, about there's so many storylines that are going on with Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox, and now Xia Li's getting tacked, Alex the Black style. Can NXT support a secondary women's championship?
I think so. I think it's probably the one thing, when you're looking at, especially compared to Raw and SmackDown women's brands, theirs combined is probably as deep as NXT's, you know? I mean, Raw is really at a lack of female talent. SmackDown's got it, but they're not utilizing them, right? We don't see Dana Brooke on a regular basis. We don't see Lacey at the level she should be. I mean, they're just not utilizing them. But I think NXT has the right mix and great idea of how to utilize their feuds. And their feuds are heated. They're personal. They mean something, right? I mean, besides the Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, and then to a lesser extent, Becky and Shayna, I mean, the NXT and TNA too. NXT feud.
TNA.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, they have a female champion, right?
Yeah, they do.
But I think the NXT feuds by far are probably one of the heated and best ones. So I think this division's really. And then what happens to Ripley? Does she come back? Does Baszler come back? Because if they do, then that roster is overly stacked to a point I don't think they should come back to those brands because they already have a ton of talent. Like, look at that ladder match. Anyone can win it, technically, besides maybe Candice LeRae, but
we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, NXT, I do have to agree, it has one of the best rosters for like female talent, and it's the strong, has some of the strongest storylines right now, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens after the 2-day WrestleMania event to see, you
too
know,
big for one night.
Too big for one night to see who gets possibly called up and who wins. And because, you know, I could see Rhea Ripley staying for a while, but there's so many other women that could hold another title that could lead the locker room and lead NXT into a whole new era.
And yeah, where's Baszler's sidekicks? Where's Jasmine Duke? And, you know, they're still not being utilized. So we talk about them. If they go with Baszler to whatever brand, or if they just go solo now in NXT, that's two potential other ones you can add to the mix. They're stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. Also, out to Asia Pereira, Asia Smith, refereeing that match today. I think she was a friend of Women's Wrestling Weekly, wasn't she?
Yes, we did an interview with her in October. Yeah, October of last year, shortly before her tryout and shortly before she got signed. So it's a good thing when you go on Women's Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, so if I go on it, I get signed too? Or is this only one for women? Or
yeah.
Okay. Next week, guys, interview me. We got a quick promo. It looks like Dexter Lumis is maybe coming to NXT soon, which is pretty cool to mention. I mean, it's very, very quick. We won't deep dive into it, but I just want to mention those people who hit me up in DMs and be like, you don't talk about promos enough, Lobito. What's up? All right, I see it. Dexter Lumis, it's coming out soon. All right, cool. But I do want to talk about this. The NA title division is finally getting a division, a full-on. You get into it, three or four people. Keith Lee comes out, which is so odd with his theme music, but no one's chanting it anymore.
Right.
Just prove it sucks. But Dominik Dijakovic and Damian Priest, your boy, Jim Alexander. We're talking about NA title division. What's next for Keith Lee and that group?
I'm actually kind of surprised that they're going to go back to, what, round four between my boy and
Keith.
I mean, they were great. They put on, I mean, I thought their last match was an instant classic. One of the best matches probably of the year. But I just don't know if you keep on rehashing that. I think that story's been told, and how much can they top what they've done last? You know, I think they had a hell of a match. I don't know where, I just don't understand that now we're going to do a three-way, you know, Damian Priest. I don't think Damian Priest is on their level. I think those two guys are established to a point where they're escalating to like main, you know, main star level. And Priest just hasn't been there. He's been kind of fumbling around. So I don't understand him being added. He seems forced to me in that feud.
Emily, you agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, part of it I kind of agree with, because we've seen a lot of these matchups before. And so, you know, where does it go from here? I'm still, like, I kind of agree that I'm not sure if they're at an equal level, which doesn't make it bad. It just means they're going to have to figure out what those matchups mean and how it gets presented out.
Yeah, it does seem a bit of a retread, but that just only tells me that something else is coming. It has to. Why would you announce?
There could be a surprise appearance by someone or a swerve of some kind that, like, makes it different.
Yeah, but before we move on, it's now time for the King's Court.
What? Ryan, what are you doing there? Where's my music?
There's no music.
That's you, buddy.
We're in isolation, but we can still play.
King's Court, King's Court, King's Court, King's Court, King's Court, King's Court, King's Court. Do, 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 go, Jim.
There we go. Okay, that's good enough. King's Court today, lights are shining brightly on my left side, and that's the side I have Mandy Rose, as you saw on Monday Night Raw after show. She's here, she's present. Then we have. What is this?
My boy! Oh, Dr. Kovic is coming to the King's Court!
Dr. Kovic is joining the court!
That's my boy's music, probably from his home country. But my boy Dominic's at the door. Yes, whatever that is. My boy Dominic manning the door. David Christopher's manning the door with the Mr. Chief. And now. Is this like Russian or something? Or like what?
Keep going. I'm loving it. I'm digging it.
I'm digging it.
Liv Morgan here. I got Liv Morgan on my side. I got, we got Pinky Noise. We got Tegan Fox for NXT. That's what's going on. And that music is not going to kill the vibe.
I think we're all losing it. I think we've been contained too long. It's only been six days.
The official song of having your light, half your lights out. The King Court. All right, moving on. All right, my favorite tag team of all time right now, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan had a match. Second match of the week for Shane Thorne and Brandon Vink. I loved Shane Thorne's small singles run. It looks like he's saying, nope, you're going to be a tag team forever. But Burch and Lorcan, man, they got their own t-shirt. Maybe they be around for a while, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, I liked what happened tonight. I think it was really, like, it worked for me, so.
Yeah, it's pretty solid action. The thing is, I worry about all four men in the ring, that it really wasn't charisma in the grand raw scale. There's not much character there. But I like the fact that Borch and Lurkin like to hit people really hard. Jim, King's Court.
They're like NWA or whatever, 1980s tag teams of the, you know, territories. That's what they are. In today's day and time, these guys just can't get over. I mean, they're good workers. They really put on interesting, but it's snooze fest. You know, unless you're a purist of wrestling, you know, like I know like some people like, you know, like that, whatever Wong guy that's on the chat, like
David Wong,
he probably watches wrestling 24/7 from, you know, dusting off VHS tapes and all that, A-tracks and whatever, watch the tape. So maybe he enjoys that stuff, but for today.
You can't watch A-track, but that's not how A-tracks work. You can't.
Whatever, man. You make it work. Okay. He has nothing else to do with his life.
She doesn't know. Right? Yeah, I mean, I could tell that it was interesting that this match was placed in tonight of all nights and right. Kind of in this setting with not fans and an audience to kind of get the energy up, and I felt like it might have been different if the audience was there.
Fair enough. Yeah, I love the whoa. And it's funny, if wrestlings were characters were real, I know Burch and Lorcan wouldn't be my friend at all, but I love singing along to that one and two. I might buy their merch once it goes on clearance.
Yeah.
Second up, we have our second women's match of the night. Candice LeRae taking on Caden Carter. Mm-hmm. I know she didn't get the win tonight, but I'm still putting my foot down. I'm saying Caden Carter's breakout year is this year. But hey, Jim Alexander, Candice LeRae won a match. She's in the ladder match to become the next women's NXT champion. What's up?
Yeah, when you put her against Caden Carter, I guess someone's got to win, right?
Ah, the hate.
Oh.
And I don't get why Caden Carter isn't over more. I think she should be. She's got a good look to her. She's got a good backstory. Isn't she like the first Filipino, right? I mean,
I think she's half Filipino, half Jamaican.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if she's the first Filipino.
Background, I would feel they would try to push her, you know, and she's solid in a ring. And she's got good music. I actually like her entrance all around. But some reason it's not connecting with whoever's writing it. But hey, Candice LeRae's in this match probably because she's more of a vet and she's more of a safer choice, I guess, for them to go with, to work with all these other women who are in this ladder match. So I can see that going over, but Candice LeRae has no chance of winning this. So it's just a filler, you know, to add to the ladder match.
Well, when you're looking, so it was supposed to be, Candice LeRae was supposed to be going against Mercedes Martinez tonight. But then they switched the card, obviously, because things are happening. So, which I feel like that would have been really interesting to see as well. But with Caden Carter, I feel like she wasn't at the point where I feel like it's not her time yet. And Candice LeRae makes sense to be in this ladder match and against some of the other vets in the lineup.
Question for you, Emily. Yeah. Just on top of that, how do you feel about the match itself and Candice LeRae using the Gargano Escape as her finisher?
So I think, you know, I feel like Candice LeRae, she comes in and out, and I feel like we haven't seen as much of her as I would have liked. I think Caden Carter has some really great qualities and moves, and I feel like they did have some contrasting moments here that were really good tonight. Sorry, what was your other question?
The Gargano Escape. She uses the Gargano Escape.
I mean, it's, you know, you learn from people you know, right? And, you know, if they're building, because they've had moments where she's run out and, like, been, you know, been there with Gargano, and, you know, so you just have to, like, it kind of adds to the storyline.
The reason why I bring it up, because depending on, I don't really care the way personally, but I know there was a bit of like derision when Brie Bella was using the Yes Kicks, for example, mm-hmm. the LaBelle Lock as part of her repertoire towards the end of her career. I was like, where's Brian's moves? Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, I don't seem to mind it. I mean, the moves are moves.
Is it really a problem? Like, the moves are the moves, and like, you can call them whatever you want.
I have no idea. So, what are your perspective? You know?
I mean, really, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you make it like, yes, there is like technicality to them, but you make it, each wrestler makes it their own in their own way. And so she needs to find her own style and her own trademark. And so if that's what she wants to do, then that's what she wants to do. But I feel like she should have her own voice in the sense of the moves that she's creating and her finishers.
Speaking of someone who needs their own trademark, Roderick Strong had a match with Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle totally wins the match pretty easily, I thought. But then Malcolm Bivens, new tag team, Jamel and Xander. What?
What? Well, surprise of the night.
Those guys were awesome. We talk about old school kind of 90s guys that just dominate and wreck everyone, you know?
Wait, you like 90s guys now? I bet you hated them two matches ago. Now you like them? Which one is it?
Talking about 80s guys, okay? 80s guys that were like in the territories. We're talking about 90s guys, okay? These are kind of classic guys. Like, they reminded me almost like the Head Shrinkers in a sense, you know, just kind of a modern version of them. Where, you know, I liked it. I liked it. They look imposing. They look like that's they can
scary.
Get up there. Yeah, scary looking.
Scary. They
can work the, you know, high-flying moves too. I think these guys are, they remind me kind of what they should do with teams like the Viking Raiders, right? This is kind of mm-hmm. their just a different version of it, but hopefully they don't mess it up. So I didn't see this coming. This was kind of surprising. Roderick Strong, there's nothing to talk about because he is what I've been saying he is. And Riddle looked good in the ring. I feel like every week he brings out something kind of a cool flair to his matches mm-hmm. or in move sets or you know, just something always different with him. He adds another element to it. But yeah, I thought I like where this ended and I like where this sets up going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I love this moment tonight, Flobo, because we were talking in previous weeks, you know, especially after we've seen so many tag teams, like, you know, and factions, like, where are we going to get new people? And so I loved how tonight they revealed something where, oh, we have these new guys that are very dominating, very scary. And they did it in a surprise way with a new manager. And I loved it. And I'm excited to see kind of what happens. Yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, it was a bold move to debuting a brand new tag team without having a crowd. But you never know when you're going to come back from a crowd.
Exactly.
The match itself, to me, was good for what it was. It was on free TV, so I can't really complain. But on paper, if someone told me Matt Riddle, Roderick Strong, I guess I will be expecting a bit more. But ultimately, it was supposed to put this new team over. And now I understand why the bump always teases Malcolm Bivens, because now we know who this person is. Because Malcolm Bivens came out without the bump stuff, it'd have been like, well, who's that guy?
And what's interesting is because, you know, when you see Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong on paper, you're like, what's, like you said, like, you're like, huh. And because they're separate from their tag team factions, that now that was a good time to slip in the new tag team reveal. So it kind of helps. It was a good reveal tonight. I appreciated that.
Yeah. So our main event tonight, Ciampa, Gargano having a talk with NXT owner, creator, Triple H. So I'm so glad Triple H mentioned William Regal, because it's kind of weird that he's not even around here. But the end result is this: before a crazy, weird end tonight's episode, 2 weeks from now, there's going to be a special location where Triple H is going to attack Gargano and Ciampa. It sounds like a video game side quest. Just Jim Alexander, thoughts about this? Is this the final chapter of the story? And if so, would you want to do it in an offsite bunker?
It's not. I have a feeling that they're going to come back to it down the road again. No, I mean, that just shows you the level. Triple H trying to put him over. Hey, let's do it in the biggest stage of all wrestling. But Johnny Gargano being the little mark that he is and a little indie guy, he'd rather do it in a warehouse, you know? So that typically was right up Johnny's alley. I love that part. I mean, listen, this feud needs to be blown off. It's been too many times. They both turned face and heel on each other multiple times. It's time. I don't know what they're going to do in a warehouse. I guess it's something different, but you would think these two would be placed in a ring where they're best at, right?
Well, he said that they were going to bring a ring in wherever they decided.
But just like in a regular match, you don't need to do like a gimmick match. I feel this is going to be a gimmick match in some way.
It's a boneyard match.
Dumpster match.
The ending, the Titantron, the Killer Cross. I mean, that was the most over thing for me that whole night. I thought it was a great spot, great way they ended it. And that seems already more relevant than Gargano versus Ciampa.
You think they're getting involved in anything? Sorry about that, Emily.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Do you think that Killer Cross gets involved? Or is it just kind of like a...
No.
I think it's just a teaser for another a reveal.
Gotcha.
Totally. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get involved. But what... Ciampa and Gargano's feud has been one of my favorites to watch. And I don't know, it has to be super momentous. The ending has to be momentous because, you know, Triple H said, no, you can't come back to NXT if this happens. And so that's an interesting kind of call to action of like, okay, so what is the end of this feud? And what does it mean? Are they moving elsewhere? Are they staying at NXT? I feel like things are more in question now than they were before.
That's a good thing to think about. Jim Alexander, final thoughts.
I thought it was a really good show. The probably best produced show so far by WWE during this whole, emptying out of the arenas and what's going on. And I mean, in some weird way, I did want Ciampa versus Gargano at Mania just to see. I mean, why the hell not? It's either way. And, you could have added some flavor. Rhea Ripley's going to be there, part of it. So, I mean, if Triple H teases it, but they're not going to do it. It's going to lose the flair, obviously, that we don't have a takeover by having it just over the shows. But it's going to get quality to these next, next few weeks of NXT programming. So you get that. I don't think we're going to be seeing much wrestling anymore going forward. I think WrestleMania is going to be the sign off for a while. So I think you might not even get that. So next week might be the last week of NXT and wrestling for a while.
Yeah, that's going to be true. It's not time for us to get out of here, but I just want to say that next week we have, you know, Velveteen Dream against Bobby Fish, Lee Dijakovic and Damian Priest, and a second chance for a spot in the ladder match. So it's going to be a stat card from top to bottom. We'll be right back here next week recapping the show. But, you know, until next time, Emily May, where can the world find you online?
So you can all find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller. We're going to do, we're doing Women's Wrestling Weekly every week. So check it out. And for all the fun content.
Jim Owens in.
You can find me at Real Talker. I've been Real Talker on YouTube. And, you know,
that's right. You gotta follow this guy at realtalker.com. Real Talker has the content all throughout the quarantine and lockdown. My name is Flobo Boys. You can follow me at Twitter at Flobo Boys, on Instagram at Flobito. Flobito.com is a website. I got t-shirts at Flobito.threadless.com, and the Patreon is now up. Patreon.com/Flobo Boys. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.